Europe's highest court ruled last week on a digital privacy case that U.S. officials say threatens the economy of the global internet. It's thanks to a young man whose unexpected discovery sent him into the media spotlight.
Meet Max Schrems. He's the current thorn in the side of internet giants like Facebook, Amazon, and Google.
Europe's highest court has ruled in favor of an Austrian law student who claims a transatlantic data protection agreement doesn't adequately protect consumers.
The highest court in Europe struck down a transatlantic data pact used by about 4,500 companies.
It all began about 5 years ago when Schrems was an exchange student in California. Some tech company lawyers visiting his class planted the seed of this case in his head.
There were a couple of people from different Silicon Valley companies. One of them was Facebook, and the basic theme of what most of them said was like, you know, the Europeans are kind of cute with their privacy stuff, but if you don't play by the rules, nothing is going to happen anyway, so we more or less ignore what's happening.
So Schrems set out to investigate whether Facebook was indeed holding his personal information to Europe's stringent privacy standards. He requested all the data Facebook had on him, and after some struggle, finally received a CD by mail with more than 1,200 pages of information, 300 of which were supposedly deleted.
It actually says in their own database, deleted, but they keep it in the background, not really deleting it. And that was interesting because I was asking Facebook people why they were so stupid to send me all this evidence that they don't comply with the law. And the answer was that they had internal communications problems. So someone at Facebook was just stupid enough to forward it and bring it right to my doorstep.
Armed with evidence that Facebook was flouting European privacy laws, he complained to the Irish Data Protection Commissioner, who regulates Facebook's European operations. 2 years later, when Edward Snowden revealed that the NSA could access European data held by U.S. companies, Schrems filed another complaint. This one went all the way to the European Court of Justice, which last week found that Europeans' fundamental rights to privacy were being breached.
We have data protection laws throughout Europe that every individual member state has to implement. If you could just, you know, move out data to a third country and do whatever you want to do with it, then it wouldn't make any sense to have privacy laws in Europe at all.
The court ruled that the 15-year-old Safe Harbor Agreement, whereby companies like Facebook and Google could easily transfer data from Europe to the U.S. if they respected Europe's rules, was not working. The agreement was null and void. U.S. companies now will have to prove they're complying with European law. Schrems told us that the ruling underscores the conflict between the U.S. and the European view of privacy.
Basically, Europe has a law where even just storing information and collecting information about another person is already a violation of his privacy. While in the U.S., there's generally the approach that only a misuse of the data can probably get you into trouble. So there's a much wider scope in Europe of protection, mainly because the argument goes that if you know that someone is watching you, you're already changing your behavior. That also kind of interferes with your freedom of speech, because if you know that everything you're saying is tracked, you probably don't say what you want to say. So there's a much broader protection than the Fourth Amendment in the U.S.
There was another distinction that you've made between the U.S. and Europe that I thought was particularly interesting. And that is, there's a presumption in Europe that privacy is a right equivalent to free speech. But in the U.S., consumers are asked to read a company's incredibly long and turgid terms of service and then make a decision, all or nothing.
I don't think even the lawyers that wrote all these privacy policies have a rough idea of what's going on the servers. So how should an average person understand that just wants to share a couple of pictures? So the approach in Europe is really to regulate these things by law and not leave it up to the individual consumers.
Some suggest that it's the sort of libertarian politics of Silicon Valley that says, you read it, you sign it, it's up to you, we don't need government taking care of this. As opposed to food safety, where, you know, the government is supposed to inspect.
Sounds nice that consumers should make an educated decision, but the reality is if we would have to educate people about food safety, building safety, fire safety, online safety, whatever, we would have to educate them 24 hours, 7 days a week, and they would still not understand it all. So in a developed society, in a developed democracy, these things have to be outsourced to specialists that take care of it. And we also need solid laws where we know what's legal and what's not.
How have you dealt with being the poster boy for this campaign? Do you find it ironic that you've been championing a case about internet privacy and it's made you internet famous?
Yeah, that's kind of the strangest thing about the whole case. From the beginning on, I was like, please don't put my name anywhere and don't put my pictures anywhere. And now, after the case last week, my picture was on the front page of every large European newspaper. But that's how the media works to a certain extent. Privacy is just a very complicated topic. So you need to have the one guy and you need to have the David versus Goliath story to go with it to even be able to sell the issue. So I think that you don't take things too serious.
Well, since you mentioned David and Goliath, I'm wondering if you're aiming at anyone else.
Not currently. I think in the long run, what we need in Europe is collective enforcement. So it's fun to be like the one guy doing something. But all these consumer issues, for example, are typically taken care of by consumer rights organizations because the average consumer is not going to sue for a, I don't know, illegal 10-cent fee or something, even though companies make millions with that. That's really something where we need collective redress and collective enforcement. I think that's the way to go forward. So we don't need probably 100 people with their slingshots, but more probably 10 people that do that on a professional basis.
Max, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Max Schrem is finishing up his PhD at the University of Vienna. So Schrem says that one little guy with a slingshot can only go so far in policing privacy laws. What's needed is collective enforcement. James Kinsella, a former Microsoft executive who now runs the European cloud services company Zettabox, sees in the European Court of Justice's ruling exactly that kind of large-scale action on the horizon.
And I think one of the reasons why the court has been so forceful in its decision is because it's anticipating what else is coming up. And what's coming up in the European Union at the moment is a thing called the General Data Protection Regulation. GDPR is on its way and will have a far greater impact on how private citizens think about their data and how companies are going to have to react.
So this is a shot across the bow.
I think it's a very good way to describe it. This is essentially saying no to the way things are operating now, and wake up, Americans, because there is a regulation coming that really will change the way we are all supposed to think about private citizens' data.
So what happens if these big companies choose to ignore what Europe does?
I don't think they're going to be honest. Let's face it, some of these companies have at least as many European customers as U.S. customers, and these aren't silly boys and girls running these companies. So I think they're going to begin to put in place some of the provisions of the General Data Protection Regulation. That includes a right to be forgotten, for example, a demand that companies know where their data is, several other principles that are core to the GDPR. Quite frankly, there should be some pressure on the U.S. government to come up with something that looks and feels like the GDPR for American citizens as well.
Of course, that isn't going to happen. The NSA has the right, under certain circumstances, to any of the data that's being stored in any of thousands of U.S. companies.
That's right. And the U.S. Congress has the authority to change how that's actually interpreted. If, in fact, those kinds of provisions aren't recognized by the U.S. government, then this is really going to be a tidal wave. The GDPR has a very powerful provision that says that, listen, company, wherever you are headquartered in the world, if you are actually serving European customers and you violate this new law, you could be liable for a penalty of between 2% and 5% of your global revenues. That is a very, very heavy stick.
Now, you work in this area. It always struck me that regulations on the internet are very nearly unenforceable.
These rules are definitely enforceable. Things are unenforceable if you simply cannot identify the violator. But more than ever, we can identify the violator, and more than ever, we can use data to say there has been a violation. the internet is a much less Wild West place in 2015 than it was when I developed my first web company more than 20 years ago. We're going to have to give the individual who uses the internet greater controls over how their personal and private information is used. This issue is really about sovereignty. That is, can you guarantee government that I actually elect? Can you guarantee that you're really protecting my rights? And if you're saying, no, we essentially give that up to somebody across the pond whom you don't elect and whose government you have no real influence over, that's not right. If the reverse were happening, I guarantee you the Americans wouldn't go quietly into the night on this.
And so the moral of this decision is, take that, America. There's a whole lot more coming down the pike.
That's one way to think about it. The other way is to say, wake up, America, and get engaged in the conversation about bringing greater sense to the way that companies deal with individuals' private data. Because the U.S. leads the cloud services market. It should be leading this debate. At the moment, it's following.
James, thank you very much.
My great pleasure.
James Kinsella is a former Microsoft exec who runs the European cloud services company Zettabox.
Coming up, a requiem for a rite of passage, the Playboy Playmate.
This is On the Media.